8. Wayne strode up the steps into the 4th Octon Constabulary Precinct offices. His ears felt way too hot. Why was it that Connors wore such uncomfortable hats? Maybe that was why they were so grouchy all the time, walking about the city, picking on respectable folk. Even after just a few weeks in Ellendale, Wayne knew that was basically what constables did. Bad hats. A bad hat could make a man right disagreeable, and that was the truth. He burst through the double doors, slamming them open. The room inside basically looked like a big cage. A wooden railing in the front to keep people separated from the Connors, desks behind for eating food or lounging and talking. His entrance caused a few of the brown-uniformed Connors to sit bolt upright, some reaching for revolvers at their hips.
"Who's in charge of this place?" Wayne bellowed.
The astounded Connors stared at him, then jumped to their feet, straightening uniforms and hastily sticking on their hats. He wore one of those uniforms himself. He'd traded for it at a precinct up in the 7th Octant. He'd left a right good shirt as a replacement, as fair a trade as any man could ask. After all, that shirt had been silk.
"Sir,"
one of the Connors said.
"You'll want Captain Breton, sir."
"Well, where the hell is he?"
Wayne yelled. He'd picked up the right accent from listening to just a few Connors. People, they misunderstood the word accent. They thought accents were those things everybody else had. But that wasn't it at all. Every person had an individual accent, a blend of where he'd lived, what he did for a living, who his friends were. People thought Wayne imitated accents. He didn't. He outright stole them. They were the only things he was still allowed to steal, seeing as to how he'd turned to doing good with his life and stuff like that. Several of the Connors, still confused by his arrival, pointed toward a door at the side of the room. Others saluted, as if that were really the only thing they knew how to do. Wayne huffed through his thick, drooping fake mustache and stalked over to the door. He acted as if he were just going to throw it open, but then pretended to hesitate and knocked instead. Breton would outrank him, barely. Really unfortunate, Wayne thought. Here I am, 25 years as a constable, and still only a 3-bar. He should have been promoted ages ago. As he raised his hand to knock on the door again, it flew open, revealing Breton's lean face. He looked annoyed.
"What is this racket and yelling?"
He froze as he saw Wayne.
"Who are you?"
"Captain Griffin Trenchant," Wayne said. 7th Octant."
Breton's eyes flicked to Wayne's insignia, then back to his face. There was a moment of confusion, and Wayne could see panic in Breton's eyes. He was trying to decide if he should remember Captain Guffin or not. The city was a big place, and, from what Wayne had overheard, Breton was always mixing up people's names.
Of course, Captain, Breton said. We met?
Wayne blew out his mustaches.
We sat at the same table at the chairman's dinner last spring.
He was feeling pretty good about this accent. It was a mixture of 7th Son Lord and foreman of an ironworks with just a hint of canal captain. Speaking with it felt like he'd stuffed cotton in half of his mouth and had borrowed the voice from an angry dog. But he'd spent weeks in the city now, listening to pubs in different octants, visiting the railway tracks, chatting with people in parks. He'd collected a good number of accents, adding them to the ones he'd already stolen. Even when living in Wuthering, he'd taken trips to the city to gather accents. You found the best ones here.
Of course, Breton said. Yes, Trenchant, I recognize you now. It has been a while.
Never mind that, Wayne blustered. What's this about you having prisoners from the Vanisher's gang? Good steel, man. We had to learn about it from the broadsheets.
We have jurisdiction here, as the event...
Breton hesitated, looking at the room full of intrigued constables, studiously pretending not to be listening.
Step inside.
Wayne eyed the watching men. Not a one of them had questioned him. Act like you were important, act like you were angry, and people just wanted to get out of your way. Basic psychology, that was.
Very well, he said.
Breton closed the door, speaking quickly and authoritatively.
They were captured in our octant, and the crime they were committing was here. We have jurisdiction flat out. I did send you all a missive.
A missive? Rust and ruin, man. You know how many of those we get a day?
Well, perhaps you should hire someone to sort through them, Breton said testily. That's what I eventually did.
Wayne blew out his mustache.
Well, you could have sent someone over to inform us, he said lamely.
Next time, perhaps, Breton said,
sounding satisfied for having won the argument and disarmed an angry rival.
We are rather busy with those prisoners.
Well and good, Wayne said. When are you sending them to us?
What?
Breton said.
We have prior claim. You have jurisdiction for the initial inquest, but we have prosecution rights. First robbery happened in our octant.
Wax had written that out for him. Bloke could be right useful on occasion.
You have to give us a written request for that.
We sent a missive, Wayne said.
Breton hesitated.
Earlier today, Wayne said. You didn't get it?
We get a lot of missives.
Thought you said you hired someone to read them.
Sent him out for scones earlier, you see.
Ah, well then. Wayne hesitated. Can I have one?
Of the scones or the prisoners?
Wayne leaned in.
Look, Breton, let's melt this down and forge it. We both know you can stall for months with those prisoners while we complete proper transfer paperwork. That is basically worthless to both of us. You get a lot of hassle, and we lose any chance we had of catching the rest of these fellows. We need to move quick.
And? Breton asked, suspicious.
I want to question a few of the prisoners, Wayne said. Chief sent me specifically. You let me in. Give me a few minutes and we'll stop all transfer requests. You can prosecute, but we get to keep hunting for their boss.
The two locked gazes. According to Wax, prosecuting the Vanishers would be good for careers. Very good. But the real prize, the boss of the gang, was still at large. Getting him would mean glory, promotions, and maybe an invitation to join the upper crust. The late Lord Peterus himself had done it when he'd captured the Copper Strangler. Letting a rival constable interview the prisoners would be risky. Potentially losing the prisoners completely, as Breton chanced doing, was even more so.
How long? Breton said.
15 minutes each, Wayne said.
Breton's eyes narrowed just slightly.
10 minutes with two of the prisoners.
Fine. Wayne said. Let's do it.
It took longer to set things up than it should have. Constables tended to take their time about anything unless it involved burning buildings or murders in the streets, and they ran for those two only if someone rich was involved. Eventually, they had a room set up for him and pulled one of the bandits in. Wayne recognized him. The fellow had tried to shoot him, so Wayne had broken his arm with a dueling cane. Downright rude, trying to shoot like that. When a fellow pulls out a dueling cane, you should respond with one of your own, or at least a knife. Trying to shoot Wayne was like bringing dice to a card game. What was the world coming to?
Has he said anything so far?
Wayne asked Breton and several of his minions, standing outside the door and looking in at the tubby, scraggly-haired bandit. He had his arm in a dirty sling.
Not much, Breton said. Actually, none of them have given us much of anything. They seem...
Afraid, one of the other constables said. They're afraid of something, or at least more afraid of talking than they are of us.
Bah, Wayne said. You just need to be firm with them. No coddling.
We haven't been...
The constable began, but Breton raised a hand to quiet him.
Your time is slipping away, Captain.
Wayne sniffed, then sauntered into the room. It was small, practically a closet, with only the one door. Breton and the others left it open. The bandit sat in a chair, manacled hands linked by chains to his feet and both locked to the floor. There was a table between them. The bandit watched him resentfully. He didn't seem to recognize Wayne. It was probably the hat.
"So, son," Wayne said, "you're in a heap of trouble."
The bandit didn't reply.
"I can get you off easy. No hangman's noose for you, if you are willing to be smart."
The bandit spat at him. Wayne leaned in, hands on the table. "Here now," he said very softly, changing his speech to the natural fluid accent that the bandits had been using. A cup of canal worker for authenticity, a healthy dose of bartender for trust, and the rest sixth octant, north side, where most had sounded like they'd come from.
"Is that the way to speak to the bloke who killed O'Connor and took his uniform all to get you out of here, mate?"
The bandit's eyes opened wide.
"Don't do that now," Wayne said softly. "You're looking too eager. That'll make him suspicious. Damn it all, you're gonna have to spit on me again."
The man hesitated.
"Do it,"
he spat.
"Ruination,"
Wayne bellowed, swapping back to the constable accent. He pounded the table.
"I'll tear your ears off, boy, if you do that again."
The bandit looked at him.
Should I?
Ah, good. Got the right neighborhood.
"Like hell,"
Wayne hissed.
"I really will rip your ears off if you do."
He leaned in, speaking in the street-tough accent, low enough so those outside couldn't hear.
"The Connors say you haven't talked. Good job on that. The boss'll be pleased."
"You're gonna get me out?"
"What do you think? Can't leave you to sing. It's either get you out or see you shaking hands with Iron Eyes."
"I won't talk," the man said urgently. "No need to kill me. I won't talk."
"And the others?"
The man hesitated.
"I don't think they will either. Except maybe Sindrin. He's new and all."
Good, Wayne thought.
"Sindrin. Blonde fellow with the scar?"
"No. He's a short guy. Big ears."
The robber squinted at Wayne.
"Why don't I recognize you?"
"Why do you think?"
Wayne said, standing back and resuming his constable voice.
"Now no more griping. Where is your base of operations? Where are you men working from? I want answers."
He leaned in again.
"You don't recognize me because I'm too valuable to be seen by the common men. They might give me away. I work with your boss, Tarson."
"Tarson? He's not boss of anything. He just hits stuff."
"Also good."
"I meant his boss."
The bandit frowned. He was growing more suspicious.
"Your attitude is going to get you hanged, mate," Wayne said softly. "Who recruited you? I want to speak with him."
"Who? Clamps does all the recruitment. You should know that."
His eyes grew hostile. Excellent, Wayne thought.
"Don," he said, turning around. "This one won't talk. Closed-mouthed git."
He walked out of the room to join Breton and the others.
"Why were you whispering so much?" Breton demanded. "You said we could listen." "I said you could listen," Wayne said, "but not that I'd say anything you could hear. You've got to speak low and threateningly with these types. Have any of the men given you names yet?"
"Aliases,"
Breton said, dissatisfied.
"Any of them give the name Sindrin?"
Breton looked at his men. They shook their heads.
"Excellent.
I want to see the other men. I'm going to pick which one to interview next."
"That wasn't part of the deal," Breton said.
"And I can still march on home and start up paperwork for a transfer."
Breton stewed for a moment, then led Wayne to the cells. Sindrin was easy to pick out. The large-eared man looked young. He was wide-eyed as he watched the Connors look into his cell.
"Him,"
Wayne said.
"Let's go."
They grabbed him and brought him to an interrogation room. Once Sindarin was chained down, Breton and his men waited in the room.
"A little space to breathe, please," Wayne said, glaring at them.
"Fine," Breton said. "But no more whispering. I want to hear what you have to ask him. He is still our prisoner."
Wayne glared at them, and they shuffled out, but left the door open. Breton stood outside with his arms folded, looking at Wayne expectantly. "All right, then," Wayne thought. He turned to the captive and leaned in.
"Hello, Sindarin." The boy actually jumped. "How do you—" "Clamps sent me," Wayne said softly in a street-tough accent. "I'm working on a way to get you out. I need you to remain perfectly still."
"But
still. Don't move."
"No whispering," Breton called in. "If you say—"
Wayne put up a speed bubble. It wasn't going to last long. He hadn't been able to scrounge up much bend alloy. He'd have to make it work.
"I'm an allomancer," Wayne said, holding perfectly still. "I've sped up time for us. If you move, they'll notice the blur and know what happened. Do you understand? Don't nod yes, just say so."
"Yes."
"Good," Wayne said. "As I said, Clamps sent me, and I'm here to get you out. Seems the boss worries you fellows will talk."
"I won't,"
the youth said, voice nearly a squeak as he obviously worked hard to keep himself from moving.
"I'm sure you won't," Wayne said, moving his accent subtly to match the area this youth was from, Inner Seventh.
He tossed in a sprinkle of millworker, which he caught in this lad's dialect, probably from his father.
"If you did, Tarsin would have to break some of your bones. You know how he likes that, eh?"
The boy started to nod, but caught himself.
"I know."
"But we'll get you out," Wayne said. "Don't worry. I don't recognize you. You new?"
"Yes."
"Clamps recruited you?"
"Just 2 weeks back."
"Which base were you working out of?"
"Which one?"
the lad said, frowning.
"We have several stations of operation," Wayne said. "But of course you don't know that, do you? The boss only shows one to new kids in case they get caught. Wouldn't want you to accidentally lead people to us, eh?"
"That would be awful,"
Sindarin agreed. He eyed the door, but kept himself still.
"He put me in the old foundry over in Longguard. I thought we were the only ones."
"That's the idea," Wayne said. "We can't let a simple mistake stop us from getting payback."
Yes.
"You don't believe in all that, do you?" Wayne said. "It's okay. I think the boss gets a little crazy with that stuff, too."
"Yeah,"
the youth said.
"I mean, most of us just want the money, you know? Payback's nice, but—"
"Money's better."
"Yeah. Boss is always talking about how things will be better when he's in charge, and how the city betrayed him and stuff. But the city betrays everyone. That's how life is."
The youth glanced again at the constables outside the door.
"Don't worry," Wayne said. "They think I'm one of them."
"How'd you do it?"
the boy asked softly.
"Just gotta talk their language, son. Surprising how many people never figure that out. You sure they never told you about any of the other bases? I need to know which ones are in danger."
"No,"
the youth said.
"I only ever went to the foundry. Stayed there pretty much all the time, except when we went out on runs."
"Can I give you some advice, son?" Wayne asked.
"Please."
"Get out of this business of robbing folks. You aren't meant for it. If you ever do get free, go back to the mills."
The boy frowned.
"Takes a special type to be a proper criminal," Wayne explained. "You ain't that type. You see, in this conversation, I tricked you into confirming the name of the guy who recruited you and given the location of your base.
The youth grew pale.
But don't worry, Wayne said. I'm on your side, remember? You're just lucky that I am.
Yeah.
All right, Wayne said, lowering his voice, remaining still. I don't know if I can get you out by force. Face it, kid, you're not worth it. But I can help you. I want you to talk to the constables.
What?
Give me until evening, Wayne said. I'll go back to the base and clear the place out. Once that's done, you can sing to the Connors. Tell them everything you know. Don't worry. You weren't told enough to get us into real trouble. Our contingency plans will protect us. I'll tell the boss I told you to do it, and so you'll be all right. But don't talk to them until they promise to let you go free in return. Get a solicitor into the room. Ask for one by the name of Arentall. He's supposed to be honest.
At least that was what people on the streets had told Wayne.
Get the Connors to promise your freedom with Arentall in the room. Then, tell them everything you know. Once you're out, get away from the city. Some of the gang may not believe that I told you to talk, so it could be dangerous for you. Go to the roughs and become a mill worker. Nobody will care there. Either way, kid, stay out of crime. You'll just end up getting someone killed. Maybe you.
The
youth looked relieved.
Thank you.
Wayne winked.
Now, resist everything I ask you from here out.
He started coughing and dropped the speed bubble.
That I can't hear, Breton said. I'm stopping this right here.
Fine, Wayne yelled. Boy, tell me who you work for.
I ain't giving you anything, Connor.
You'll talk or I'll have your toes,
Wayne yelled back. The kid got into it, and Wayne gave the constables a good 5 minutes of arguing before throwing up his hands and storming out.
I told you, Breton said.
Yeah, Wayne said, trying to sound dejected. Guess you'll just have to keep working on them.
It won't work, Breton said. I'll be dead and buried before these men talk.
We could only be so lucky, Wayne said.
What was that?
Nothing, Wayne said, sniffing the air. I believe that the scones have arrived. Excellent. At least this trip won't be a complete waste.